This is CliffCentral.com.
She's having a tough day. Kesha with Praying. Ben just asked if it was Kelly Clarkson, but there we go. She does have a voice.
I heard Kesha recorded this in that guy's basement that keeps her captive.
Oh, shit.
What's her name? What's his name?
This guy? Was the song.
Zach Martin.
This was actually
Dax Martin.
One of those guys who writes all the songs.
A Max Martin.
Max Martin, that's it. So Max Martin, you know, because he keeps Kesha in the basement.
Yes.
But it's a recording studio at the same time.
It was another dude who kept her in the basement.
It's Dr. Luke.
Dr. Luke.
Thank you. Max Martin's the guy who writes a whole lot of songs. But
Dr. Luke's the...
Dr. Luke's the one who trapped Kesha in the basement. I mean, listen, if you're going to keep anyone hostage, don't let it be Kesha. Whoa. Stop everything.
Stop. Is this breaking news?
It is, actually. I saw this story in the news yesterday. Well, I don't know if it's breaking news that this happened, because it happened a while ago, but the perpetrators appeared in court yesterday. Listen, no matter how shitty your day is, it's not as bad as this story. And I need to tell you this, because I saw it on the news yesterday and I was horrified. There's this story of the Springs Monster. Have you heard?
Of course.
Have you heard this story?
Oh, we all, of course, know the Mori Mori Monster.
Well,
is it the same family?
There's this man who lived in a house in Springs with his wife.
Bad start.
And they had, I think, 4 or 5 kids. They locked these kids up like Fritzl in Austria. These kids were locked up. They were beaten. They were tortured. They were burnt. They were, I mean, treated so badly. You have no idea. This guy is the most monstrous man. And the wife appeared in court with him, because obviously she's a co-accused, but she is so battered and disorientated and incapable and disempowered by this whole thing, because she was obviously abused as well. The psychologist appeared in court yesterday and said, you can't hold her responsible for anything. She was basically his agent.
Yeah.
This guy was a nutcase. They showed some visuals. They won't reveal his name or any of that stuff to protect the children. But this is the most monstrous man you could possibly imagine. And this is a big story. I was just yesterday saying, sort of tongue-in-cheek, now that Henry von Breda has gone to jail, Sandile Manso has gone to jail, Oscar Pistorius has gone to jail, Jason Roeder's carrying on, but that's not exciting enough for many people. This is a real replacement story. My God, the Springs Monster. You will not believe this story. Look it up. We'll keep you updated, obviously, as things happen. But it's just on the top of my mind, so I thought I'd bring it up.
Your court case isn't going to go so well when people are already calling you monster. There's a good chance that maybe you're not going to be innocent.
Exactly. People are calling this guy the Springs Monster. So they started the trial on Monday, and it's been postponed in the Gauteng High Court to give a psychologist time to prepare a report about the 39-year-old mother's mental state at the time that she and her husband abused their 5 children. Judge Eben Yordan last week demanded a representative of Legal Aid South Africa explain why the report, which was apparently commissioned last year already, was still not ready. I mean, these two are just unreal, the father and the mother. I mean, mother less so, because who knows. It's been postponed till the 7th of May until May 18. So that's when it's all going to take up again. The police and social services uncovered what they called a... That's when they're going to resume the trial. The police and social services uncovered what they called a filthy nest with rats as big as puppies running around the house. It was claimed the mother, who was dressed in skimpy clothes when the police got there, often used drugs given to her by her husband, and that she didn't lift a finger when the husband abused the children. The mother said that she also was the husband's prisoner, and he made her dress like a prostitute while demanding sex several times a day from her. The children, aged between 3 and 16, when their parents were arrested in 2014, 4 years ago, are in a place of safety. It's just, it's such a creepy story.
I don't know how you get to that point.
Oh, man. You know, this is where we talk about, you know, national health insurance and things like this. Some people are just beyond help. They're hardly even people.
Oh, they're monsters.
Exactly. It's where the term works.
And that is horrifying. How, when you dig deep into how the brain works and how twisted some people can be, mm-hmm. this father was leaving that yeah. horrid place, going to work, smiling and laughing with his colleagues.
Correct.
He was going down to the local pub for a drink on pretending Friday afternoon.
Everything was okay while he'd locked the rest of the family in the house. You know how they found out about this whole thing?
How?
One of the children, one of the older children, escaped from the house and went to neighbors, and the neighbors called the police. What a story. Can you imagine how damaged those kids are now? They're going to grow up. What are their chances of having a normal life? Hmm? Five of them. Five of them.
And goodness, at least they had the strength of character to run and tell someone.
The one kid. The others were still locked in the house.
See, so often in these cases, and it's even sad that there are a lot of these cases, so often these people are so brainwashed. There was one case in particular in the States. This man did the exact same thing to his two daughters. Mm-hmm. And he would even walk out in public with them.
Yeah, and they would behave.
And
because they were so scared. But it's also Stockholm syndrome, which you yeah. know is a situation when someone is kidnapped or they're held hostage or they're held against their will. Eventually they fall in love with and start to admire and respect and have feelings, positive feelings even, for the person who's doing this to them. It's very yeah. messy. But you got to look into this, and we will obviously too. So there's a new story for us to follow. The Springs Monster. There are a couple other things that came up yesterday in the news that I thought we probably should have looked at. You want to go through some of these?
Sure.
Sure.
Google have released their podcast app. Mm-hmm. A new way for Android users to discover and listen to the world's podcasts.
Oh, good. Because the one thing that I haven't enjoyed going from Apple to Android is yep. podcast availability and accessibility.
Yep.
So it's like buy apps and stuff. Yeah.
Correct. This is a very big deal. And Greg, who's our station manager here, sent me the story yesterday about what a big deal it is. He says, iTunes had a 70% hold on podcast traffic. That's incredible, right?
That's huge.
And leaving out most Android users, of course, Android is a much bigger footprint in South Africa and in the world. So this could open up podcasts to a whole new world of audience. And that's great news for us. Obviously, it's great news for you if you're a podcast fan. So we're very excited about this. So that's a big news story. Other stuff that you need to know about this morning. I sent this picture to Ben and Sia to look at. Here's what happens in a minute on the internet in 2018. Right, and this is apparently from Deepak Chopra. He put it on his show. So you may or may not know about this, but so each of these is broken up. This is what happens in any given 60 seconds in 2018, all right?
Yep.
What's your favorite social media or internet or app or
let's go with utility?
YouTube, all right. YouTube, 4.3 million videos are viewed every 60 seconds.
Wow.
In 2018. WhatsApp,
mm-hmm.
38 million messages in 60 seconds. Facebook, 973,000 logins every minute.
Logins?
Yeah.
I'd love to know what the screen scroll is every minute.
Oh, must be
huge. Because, you know, like logins is
huge.
It's one of the smaller metrics, I would imagine.
Google, 3.7 million search queries.
Jeepers.
Snapchat, 2.4 million snaps created every minute.
Huh. See, even though that those Kardashian nerds yes, even they even got on off, that, yeah. it's still going.
Tinder, 1.1 million swipes. 1.1 million swipes a minute on Tinder. Instagram, 174,000 scrolling on Instagram in any given 60 seconds. How's that, Ben?
That's a good stat.
That's interesting. So there we go. In case you were wondering, Netflix, 266,000 hours watched every 60 seconds. In other words, you know, if you take all of it and put it together in terms of the people doing it. 187 million emails sent every minute.
I like this stat. 43,871 creeps on LinkedIn trying to pick up girls professionally.
Not looking for jobs or anything.
No, well, no. Under the auspices of looking sure. for jobs, but they're actually just creeping girls. Interesting.
Of course. Listen, this is an interesting figure. $862,823 spent online every 60 seconds, and that number's only going
to
go up.
I'd love to know what that's going to be 2019 on this graph, because you're right, that's one way up.
Monster. All right, well, we kind of discussed the Ashwin Willemse situation during the sport a little earlier on, and I'd like to know your thoughts on that one. So we're not going to go there again, but I see Sashi Naidu has announced that she is going to be holding a press conference today to explain. You know, she made that miserable, crying, snotty video where she was apologizing for what she said about Israel or Palestine or something. And obviously, the people who've been threatening her life and all the rest of it have got to her. So she's now going to have to explain herself in some kind of press conference. You know this is going to go badly, right? We are witnessing the complete destruction of a person.
You know, I don't think it's a smart strategy for her to keep on responding to every single Tom, Dick and Jab line.
Very bad.
Because do you know what you also said yesterday? She admitted that she just copy and pasted a response initially in order to appear smart. So she didn't even know what she was really saying. She wasn't informed. She just Googled an opinion on the entire saga. She copied it, and that's how she initially responded to people on Instagram. This is not the way to go.
Well, I question even the sense of apologizing to anyone. You know, the people who are outraged don't want an apology. They don't care about you.
There needs to be an end. One statement.
Just ignore it. Just ignore it. I mean, I've been down this road. Ignore it. It'll go away eventually. People have move on. They move on to something else.
Like, what's she expecting? Do you really think, Yusuf Abramji and the rest are going to go, okay, Sashi, actually, you know what? I take your apology. Yeah. Let's be friends. No. They're going to keep kicking her to the curb until there's nothing left to kick.
That's right.
Yesterday, she posted up a picture on Instagram with her writing, I'm sorry, on a piece of paper.
God, help us.
Oh, it is with great humility, she says.
How much more pathetic can a human being make themselves? Writhing and begging and snot and tears and screaming and wailing. I mean, it's just a horrible thing to watch. Mm. You're watching someone give up any dignity that they had. And this is a woman who's beautiful, who had a good reputation. She was well known on social media. I mean, right now she's, oh God, it's so sad. Please don't, just leave it alone.
And I think you were the one who said, as soon as people smell blood, they just keep on going.
They keep attacking. They're not going to back down. You apologize. They see weakness. They don't see a genuine desire to talk. If they had a genuine desire to talk, they wouldn't be threatening death. They would be saying, cool, let's talk.
Yeah, if you're threatening death, then you're not reasonable. We've been through this before. Try to get forgiveness by people you care about. Forget about the rest.
But let me tell you about the killer. The killer's out there. The killer's crazy. You never know.
You never know. Saying. All right, well, here's a thoughtful email that I got from someone called Kevna, who mailed me yesterday when we started talking about... This is amazing. Like we were speaking about Trump and these kids that are being separated from their parents and all the rest of it. It's a big story internationally, and I'll admit right off the bat that there are a lot of opinions going on social media, and I'm not entirely sure what to make of this because I've seen videos of Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush all saying exactly what Trump has said in the last little while. It's not as if he is somehow suddenly worse than any of them. But Kevna's email goes like this. And I think that this is... I love when someone sends me something thoughtful. They've written down a bunch of ideas. They've done some research. And Kevna, I want to thank you for this. Listen, long-time fan, first-time emailer. I was a little late listening to this morning's show, and so I just did. That's the nice thing about podcasts, right? I'm emailing in regard to the morning's discussion about American immigration and the kids who are separated from their parents. America has taken a zero-tolerance approach, which means this also applies to those people who are seeking asylum in America. You can't apply for asylum while outside the country. You have to be on American soil and then ask for asylum when you're there. This is the one thing that makes me so sad about the current immigration policy. There are so many vulnerable people trying to escape some real shithole countries and situations. One of the reasons for asylum that America has retracted is that for women who are escaping domestic violence and gang-related situations where there's a threat to their lives if they stay in the country that they're from. These women and other asylum seekers are among those whose families have been separated in the past few days. I mean, that's quite something. Now, who wouldn't be on their side? You know? So, Kevna, first of all, enlightening us there. Second of all, Kevna says, I get what you're saying about those who are trying to cross the borders illegally, and I too have less sympathy for them. If your life is not in immediate danger, and if you're not trying to escape some sort of religious or whatever other kind of persecution, then you're just being lazy about the big decision to move countries. And by all means, you deserve to be sent home, or detained, or whatever else is prescribed by the law of that country. However, the stupidity of some adults still does not justify separating children from their parents. The scenes of kids being confused and probably traumatized because they're too young to understand what's happening has been heartbreaking to watch, and it doesn't feel as if a flippant attitude to illegal immigrants is warranted. Of course, I understand the visual aspect of this is what drives me to write out an email. I mean, fuck, I don't even have any kids of my own. But it's still not the right thing to do, and yes, I'm still naive to think that the right thing needs to be done. Well, I don't think so, and when I read this email, I thought you were spot on. I mean, I can't argue with you. It's a human thing, right? It's been pointed out that even when America had Japanese internment camps, they never separated families. Stemming off the back of yesterday's conversation about the importance of family, and specifically the nuclear family, it's a little disappointing to hear you be so dismissive about what's going on over there. And yes, we of course understand that Trump himself wasn't at the border. However, it's the policy of the current administration that families are allowed to be separated, and it's a policy that's being enforced by that administration. You probably wouldn't even see this, but I felt I needed to engage with you over your comments. This may even be an overreaction on my part stemming from an imminent menstrual cycle and the stress of a final exam, but I do not think that on this you were in line. No, Kevner, you're right. And listen, this is one of the things I love about this show is we learn. I learn, and I love the fact that we can teach each other. And the fact that that you can take the trouble and time to write an email like that where you've put your thoughts in a cogent, sensible fashion. I mean, I can't say thank you enough. I think we all benefit from that.
Trump's comment on this entire situation, yesterday he spoke out and he said, I don't want children taken away from parents. When you prosecute the parents for coming in illegally, which should happen, you have to take the children away, though. He was speaking in front of a gathering of small business owners, and he continues to say, we don't want to prosecute them, but then we are not prosecuting them for coming in illegally, so which is not good.
Look, we know Donald Trump is not the world's greatest empath. I mean, this guy is...
He's just very practical.
No, he's not even practical. He's just totally self-absorbed. Oh. But,
okay.
But I do think that like this is too complicated to just react emotively to pictures that you see, and it's also too complicated to just follow the letter of the law. I mean, if Kevner's email is anything to go by, we need to find the middle ground where we do less damage to human beings. That's all.
Because he's just very... He doesn't even... You are right by saying empath, because his words that he uses as well. He said he does not want America to become a migrant camp. He said we don't want people pouring into our country. Mm-hmm. We want ultimately a merit-based system where people come in based on merit. So, yeah.
Right. Let me just see if I can find that clip of Trump. Jeez.
US officials so far say more than 2,300 children have been separated from their parents or guardians since early May, when the Trump administration announced its push to arrest and charge anyone who's illegally crossing the US and Mexico border, regardless of whether they're seeking asylum or not.
Yeah, it's very hard. I don't know that you can ever immediately jump to a conclusion, whatever your conclusion is, whether it's one that's pro or anti. I mean, you can imagine all the things that people are trying to weigh up in this scenario, because you can't just drop borders and let everybody go wherever they want.
Mm.
Otherwise, what's the point of having a country? Huh? Then we may all just... And I don't have a problem with that idea, but then we've got to figure out a way of doing it that makes sense. Here is what he said yesterday. Listen to this quickly.
If the Democrats would sit down instead of obstructing, we could have something done very quickly. Good for the children, good for the country, good for the world. It could take place quickly. We could have an immigration bill. We could have child separation. We're stuck with these horrible laws. They're horrible laws. What's happening is so sad. Is so sad. And it can be taken care of quickly, beautifully, and we'll have safety. this could really be something very special. It could be something maybe even for the world to watch, just like they're watching our great economy, how it's soaring. They could watch this. We have the worst immigration laws in the entire world. Nobody has such sad, such bad, and actually, in many cases, such horrible and tough. You see about child separation. You see what's going on there. The United States will not be a migrant camp, and it will not be a refugee holding facility. Won't be. You look at what's happening in Europe, you look at what's happening in other places, we can't allow that to happen to the United States, not on my watch.
Meanwhile, he speaks about Europe. Angela Merkel looks like she's got power slipping away from her at the moment, and it's largely about this migrant situation. He even said so. He said, you know, she may not be the boss of Germany for a very long time. She may not be the chancellor there for very long because her coalition government is not holding. I don't know how true that is or how related it is to, you know, what's been going on with the migrant crisis in Europe. But as far as I can tell, things are really complicated. This situation of people wanting to move. You know, if you don't like America, then how come... There's so many people who criticize America, say it's a shitty place and, you know, people there are mean and Donald Trump and... it's tough and capitalism and all of that stuff, but then they want to go there.
The land of the free.
Yeah, well,
and the home of the brave.
Has anybody seen, I want to move on to something else, has anybody seen how much Ace Magashule and his son look like each other?
Who's the son?
Look at this. There's a picture of the two of them.
Ooh.
They look exactly the same. The two of them look like brothers. They don't even... Like twin
is that
brothers.
His son?
It's Ace Magashule and his son.
Even the frown lines on the forehead.
It's quite something, huh?
Jeez, I'd get a little tiny.
Just look that up.
That,
it's very, very, me. Yeah, it's very bizarre.
It's just me.
Don't forget, in a moment or two, we're going to get Belinda Davids in here. I'm so excited to meet her. I spent 45 minutes to an hour on YouTube last night. It's ridiculous. Sia sent me a video. And I was just sucked in, and I couldn't get enough of this woman's voice. I've heard enough voices. That's why I quit Idols. I was goddamn sick of it. But this woman, this voice, unbelievable.
She said I could apply to be her understudy should she ever get sick. Oh,
please don't. Then, Belinda, we have to make sure that you have all the health care you need. If Sia stood in for you.
That is a lie, never mind.
People would run out of that theater with like their hair is on fire if Sia had to take over from her.
Who's worth the shot?
All right. Listen,
can we get to one more story before our guest?
Sure, of course.
We know the royal family are just taking this progressive trip this year.
Yeah, sure.
The Meghan Markle wedding.
Yes, it's very good.
Meghan Markle with the sparkle.
Yes,
now,
absolutely.
Now, the first same-sex marriage in the royal family.
What?
Lord Ivor Mountbatten.
Yes.
Let's just say he's the Queen's cousin.
All right.
There's a bit of ums and ahs. But yeah, he was married to Lady Penny Mountbatten.
Ooh.
They had three kids.
Okay.
Three daughters. But no, screw it. He wants to be with his life partner.
And his life partner is a man.
James Coyle.
Hmm.
He came out 2 years ago, and now they're actually going to tie the knot.
This is happening in a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah.
And is the Queen going to go to the wedding?
Well, she probably believes there's enough queens there already. So she's probably going to give it a skip.
German Karpinski. I am not laughing.
That's what she was heard muttering to Philip the other day. It's not my words.
Oh, that's terrific.
I am not laughing at that at all.
But I mean, the they've had English kings who were openly gay.
Oh?
Yeah, in the Middle Ages. Absolutely. Had lovers. The first king of the United Kingdom of Scotland and England was James the Sixth of Scotland, James the First of England. He was openly gay. He was married, he had kids, but he also had a lover.
Ooh.
Yeah, but everyone did in those days.
Well, not everyone, Ben, but some people did.
What's going to be interesting about this wedding is Penny's going to walk Lord Ivor down the aisle.
His his wife
into this,
yes. His former wife, his ex-wife,
and they did this whole press up post.
We really are living in a spectacular time, aren't we? I mean, this royal family.
My ex-wife will walk me down the aisle as I get married to a man.
And what is their theme song going to be for the walk down the aisle?
When is Alan Ford's going to go to this?
I think he'll probably get invited to this one. He didn't get an invite to the Kate and to the Meghan Markle and Harry wedding, but he'll get an invite to this one.
What will they be skipping down the aisle?
Yeah, can I tell you something? I think this is terrific. I really do. First of all, here's a guy who he obviously got married and had children with Penny, and they were together for a while. But who knows? Maybe he decided later in life he wanted to come out, or maybe he, think people change. Perhaps, I don't know. Either way, the fact that they've been able to, as adults, forget about whether it's gay or straight or anything else. I just love the fact that his ex-wife is walking him down the aisle. That's so beautiful. It's like they can still, they've proven to the rest of us we can all get along. They've proven to the rest of us we don't need to fight like idiots, and we don't need to hate each other when you fall out of love, which is going to happen to almost everybody. Just about everyone on earth eventually falls out of love with a person they thought they'd be with forever. Be an adult about it. When someone falls out of love with you, or you fall out of love with them, let them go. Whether they're going into a straight relationship, a gay relationship, being on their own, whatever it is, let them go. You can't hold on to people like the Springs Monster.
Oh, whoa, that's a concern.
Like the Springs Monster.
Yeah, don't hold on to people. Let them go. Let people be happy.
Does Lord Ivor technically even count as a royal?
Yeah.
He's the Queen's cousin, Queen's third cousin once removed. And if you Google him, Google as his occupation has British farmer.
Yeah, well, he's probably a landowner. I mean, look, it's distant, but in the modern era, he's about as close as possible for this to happen. This is great. I think we should all be happy about this, just like we were happy about Harry and Meghan. And, this royal family are really moving forward. Thank you for bringing that one up.
You're welcome.
The happy story for today. All right. When we come back in a moment or two, we will get to Belinda. I'm very excited to meet her. Belinda Davids. She's got a show on Emperor's Palace, and we'll find out all about that. But she's been everywhere. One of the best performances I've seen was her at the Apollo, where she was hosted by Steve Harvey. I mean, that theater has such history. And she did I Will Always Love You. And, this Whitney Houston voice, I mean, that's a God-given talent. That is not something you can learn. Spectacular. I love, love, love talented people who just... I'm sure she works at this all the time, but if she didn't have that initial talent, it wouldn't have made any difference. She's so good. Can't wait to talk to her. She's coming up next. Stick around. CliffCentral.com on a Wednesday morning. We've got an interview coming up a little bit later on, which is a pre-record of Aubrey Molden, who is a marketing and advertising strategist, a creative director and author. And he popped in not so long ago to tell us about all the work that he's done. He was actually fired by the famous David Ogilvy, who's like the father of advertising. He worked with royals. He was on the cutting edge of creativity with so much of what he did. So that's coming up. Aubrey Molden is next. Stick around at cliffcentral.com. Belinda Davids coming in to talk to us in a second.
No one wants to stay at home. Nobody wants to be alone. When you come knocking, I'll be at your door. Go ahead.
Yeah, little Kylie Minogue for you first thing on a Wednesday morning. We've got so much to do. Just give people an idea what's on tomorrow.
tomorrow, Gareth, we have young Gordon Lawless coming into studio.
Yes.
We're also going to get into why the football was made black and white. And if you're a plus-size person, there is a resort in the Bahamas just for you.
Ooh,
that's very exciting. And much more tomorrow at cliffcentral.com.
All right. Thank you very much, Ben. Lots to look forward to. But this morning, we have a live guest here in the studio. Well, of course she's live. If she were dead, it would be horrible for all of us. But she's live in that she, I'm surprised you even manage in your busy schedule to find time for us. You are booked up until 2021. That is something else. Look at you, Belinda Davids.
Blessings. It's all just, I'm lucky, you know. Also, I work really hard. No, you know,
you do work hard.
To get to that point where you are just booked so far in advance and you're constantly working. Especially, you know, struggling artists don't get that. No. Artists don't get that.
No, they don't know what...
Music industry doesn't allow that.
They don't know what next month might hold.
Right.
If you're booked up until 2021, that is incredible and you deserve all that success. I mean, I watched you on stage. First of all, how's it going at Emperor's Palace? You just started.
It's great. No, we haven't started yet.
You haven't started?
It's in 24 hours.
Jesus.
Yeah, we start tomorrow night.
This is your debut interview with this show.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Very, very nice.
It is. Thank you for
having
me.
I watched this this YouTube video. Sia sent me, I think he sent me one or two clips yesterday of you. Mm. And I just wanted to get an idea because, you know, I've seen a lot of these tribute shows.
And I know you have.
And they are horrible. You know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
You get these people, these four very average singers who are trying to be the Beatles. And you're like, no, you're not. And,
yeah, they don't. Whitney, the thing is, they don't understand.
No, when someone says to me, Whitney Houston, I mean, how many Idols auditions I had to sit through where these really awful, untalented,
I know,
supremely mediocre people pitch up, and whenever, because I love Whitney. Who doesn't, right?
Right.
People pitch up, and then they say, I'm going to do I Will Always Love You, and my heart sinks.
It sinks, and you know what? It's like, you look at them and you think, okay, do you understand what you're about to do? Do you understand what you're about to do?
Yeah, you...
Because, you know, I always say this. Either you're as good or you're better.
Otherwise, if don't do it.
Otherwise, don't do it.
Right.
Don't do it.
But what's incredible about you is I kind of had a suspicion because I've heard of you before. It's not like this is the first time I heard of you. And I was quite excited. So I watched this first video. Well, an hour had gone by and I'd watched... I don't know how many clips of you singing.
Goodness.
Every one of them worthwhile.
Thank you.
It's one of the best hours I've spent this week, so I'm delighted.
Thank you.
And I can imagine your show is an unmissable event. So if anybody wants to go, we'll give you the details of that just now. You were on the stage of the Apollo last year, right? And this must have been an extraordinary experience for you. A young South African woman who must have... idolized like so many singers, Whitney Houston, one of the greatest female vocalists, if not the greatest female vocalist of all time.
Still.
On the same stage that she was on at the Apollo, doing, I think she did The Greatest Love of All there?
She recorded The Greatest Love
That's
of
right.
All. The video That's was right. recorded on that stage.
And there you are, this this girl from here, from South Africa, on this unbelievable stage with Steve Harvey introducing you, this crowd of people who you know... They know their music. They're not going to tolerate.
They know Whitney, period.
Correct. And they've also, this crowd is notorious for if you're not the best, they will tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got some women in that crowd who they pretty much go to church and the rest of their time they're busy thinking about whether or not they approve of a singer or not.
Right.
So you got some tough critics in that crowd. Forget about TV reality shows.
Yep.
So you belt out this song, the toughest song of all. You take I Will Always Love You and...
I was freaked out.
Jesus. Can I play this for everybody?
You can.
Do you mind? You're not sick of hearing it, right?
No, I'm not.
Okay, let me just quickly... I'm going to pick it up some way in where Steve Harvey's busy talking to you about it.
Okay.
All right? Just listen to this, everybody. This is Belinda Davids at the Apollo.
Stage.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I am very honored to be here, Steve.
Well...
Very honored.
Well, guess what? We honored to have you.
By the way, you looked fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah, you look great.
Thank you.
All right, here's Steve. Come on, Steve, get us in.
What are you singing for us today?
I am singing I Will Always Love You.
You see
ladies and gentlemen,
woman shouted out. She's like, hey, bitch.
She might as well have said, listen, bitch, if you're going to do Whitney... you better come correct.
That's what she said. Yeah. Some chick in the crowd. She's giving you shit already. You haven't even started.
Linda Davis.
All right, here we go. Listen to this.
If I should stay, I would only be in your
Shut up, you presenters.
I know I'll think of you every step of the way.
Steve Harvey had to like steady himself on the pillar next to the stage. Celeste's busy crying here. Celeste, do you want to tell us how you're feeling? No. Wait, this is important. Celeste is in the office here. She's just broken down in tears. She has no idea of how to handle this. Celeste is, of course, in sales here at Cliff Central, and she got to her desk this morning. She thought she'd have an ordinary day. How was that, huh? We can't hear you. Hang on a second. I think you got the wrong mic here. Just hold on, Celeste. Let me put you on here. There we go.
Okay. Whitney Houston is my favorite.
Whose favorite isn't she, huh?
I mean...
So...
Did you cry?
Idol all day.
How's that, huh? Mm. Some voice.
She sounds actually just like Whitney Houston. Yeah.
And maybe even a little better in some places. No, certainly, you sound like Whitney when she was at her prime, not the drug-addled Whitney later on, you know? The one who felt a bit sorry for.
Yeah.
You sound like her in her best days.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Well, if that doesn't give you an indication of what kind of talent we're talking about here, then I don't know what else will. How did you discover you could do this?
You know, at the age of 8 years old, nobody really knows what you don't know what you want to do. You don't know. You don't understand technique. You don't understand music. You don't really know what in the world, where your dreams are going to go, where your mind or your process or your journey is going to take you. But for me, I think when I heard her the first time, it was like, I want to sing like this woman. I want to sing like that woman. It wasn't even a matter of I want to sound like her. It was I want to sing like her. I want her technique. I know I can. I want to do that.
When Whitney sings, it's almost like she's releasing this pressure. It's like it's effortless for her. She just has to open her mouth and it just comes out.
And it just comes out.
But they say that part of the reason that she was so good and she had such a natural ability and she was so trained in herself before she started any other kind of training is because she had a mother. You know, Sissy was a hell of a
Sissy
singer.
Was.
There's Aunt Dionne Warwick.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, that woman is something else.
Yeah. It wasn't just that. She was around Aretha Franklin. She was around Chaka Khan.
Yeah.
She was around the Jacksons. She was around, you know, all those people. So, you know,
that was her training camp.
That was her training camp. That was like people that she was around all the time.
So, at 8 years old, did people say to you, oh, you sing nicely?
This is...
Because you know how people like...
This is definitely a full circle thing for me, Garrett. Because when I was younger, I couldn't go outside of my house. I'm from PE, okay? I couldn't go outside of my house and just have a good old play with my friends. It was, Whitney, can you please sing us a song? Please sing us. I couldn't go into my friend's house without singing a song.
But did you love it, or was it a
I liked it to a certain degree.
I liked it to a certain degree. A big enough audience and worth your while.
Of course. But it was just for three people in a house.
What a waste of time.
But, you know, I'm back to it again, and it's bigger, and it's now I'm doing it for crowds.
I just want to go through this for a couple of people so that they understand. You've been in Hong Kong. You were asked to perform a cappella to prove that you weren't lip syncing because they actually couldn't believe your performance.
Yeah.
You beat 15,000 other entrants from all over the world to get the part in this show in Joburg that we're talking about now.
Yeah.
You're booked through to 2021. We'll talk about the show in a second, but it's the brainchild of an Australian director.
Johnny Van Grinsven.
Right. And then in 2018, you will be touring through New Zealand, South Africa, the UK, America, and Ireland as part of this Whitney Houston show. And you started performing, you say 8:14?
Eight.
Whereabouts?
Is when the first time I heard Whitney Houston sing. So that's when my training started. Okay. But when I was 14 is when I was then signed to a label and I started professionally, start earning money singing. Yeah.
How big was the Steve Harvey show that we just listened to? I mean, the show at the Apollo.
How big?
Yeah.
For me personally?
Yes.
It was incredible. Before the actual...
Christmas last year?
November. In November last year. It was right after my four-month tour in the UK. So I was exhausted. But I couldn't pass up the invitation.
No.
I couldn't pass up. It's not something you just say, oh, I'm too tired right now. I can't do it. No. This is just another bucket list tick. So when I did that, literally before the actual event, I walked in and I was nervous because it's the Apollo.
Yeah.
History.
This is the
legendary
the cathedral of music.
Music for black people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So that was definitely an incredible experience up until we get to the event. I don't remember that performance, by the way. It was an out-of-body experience.
Have you watched it since then and thought, I love that, or are you super critical?
I definitely think I could have done better.
Oh, come on.
No, I do. I say that.
What is wrong with you?
I definitely think I could have done better, only because, you know, you have so many rehearsals before that actual event that you don't really have time to rest. And I know that if I had just a day of just not doing anything, not talking, not singing, just rest, I would have come up with just a really good performance.
What's the hardest Whitney song to sing?
They're all hard.
No, I know, but there's got to be one that you like. Either it's The Rage.
Are you coming to the show?
I asked Sia. I said, Tim, listen, I want to go and see you because all of this that I'm saying, I'm not the kind of guy who's going to say, I just love it because I want to be polite.
Yeah.
This is fantastic. I would come and watch you at the drop of a hat. But then he tells me it's all the way at Emperor's Palace. And I'm like,
Shame, where do you live? Well, don't say that.
It wouldn't matter. I hardly leave the house. They couldn't believe it. I'm going.
I'm the same.
And then I heard it was Emperor's and I'm like,
we were so revved up.
I'm the same. I don't go anywhere.
Which song's the toughest for you? Which one do you kind of put on the menu and go, that's the one I got to crack really?
You know, we have this one song, I Have Nothing.
Yeah. I played that a little earlier for people.
I Have Nothing. That's in the second set, in the second half of the show. And by the time I get to that song, I've already belted out 11 songs, Whitney Houston songs. Starting with I'm Every Woman. Now, I don't lip sync.
No.
And I don't, I will push with every inch of my body to get those high notes out. So we start with I'm Every Woman. The show starts with I'm Every Woman.
You're doing this every night?
Every night.
How many shows a week? Seven?
Now we've got four shows.
Thank God your voice would never make it if it was more than four.
Well, we've done worse than that.
You could be superhuman. No. Don't.
There's my production manager sitting right there.
What's your problem? Don't push it too hard. Come here. Get to this microphone. Get here.
Get in there, Ben.
Ben, what the fuck are you doing to her?
Ben Hopper.
Give the woman a break.
I love it.
The people need to hear Belinda.
Yeah, of course they will. They'll hear her. But
they need to hear her six times a week, really.
Unless you kill her voice.
And if they could push out seven nights a week, they would do that.
All right, which song of hers do you like the most, Ben?
I like, not Million Dollar, what's the one in the first half? The The one where you come on.
Well, you can tell he's a real Whitney fan. Yeah.
Baby Tonight?
Baby Tonight.
Oh, I'm your whatever baby you want tonight. From me. Love I'm giving song. You everything. Hey. I'm your baby tonight.
Yeah. That's nice. Mm. Just don't stop. It's like getting a back tickle. Listen, you're a mom. You've got two kids.
Yeah.
In between all of this, you're also parenting.
Yep.
Are your kids up here for the show?
Nope.
Nope. Being looked after at home in PE?
They are in Cape Town. I'm based in Cape Town. Okay. They go to school. They both go to school. My oldest go to college right now.
How old are they?
My oldest is 21. And yeah, and the youngest is 6.
Wow. That's a big age gap.
Works.
That's keeping you busy.
Well, yeah, but you know, the big boy can babysit the little one and their brothers.
Do they understand that you are now a big star and you need to tour the world? Do they get this?
They do understand it. But, and I'm not going to say they don't like it. It's just, you know, I'm mommy and I'm simple. And when I'm home, I'm home. I'm in my onesie all day and, you know.
They
need mommy.
Get on
so, you know,
children.
It's like, you know the what? You're done
to,
now.
Yeah,
you're
the world
done
needs
now.
To hear you. Your kids must manage themselves.
Yeah. Oh, bloody hell.
All right. How about One Moment in Time? That's a hell of a song, right?
Every time I do that song, I see her. When she was performing, I think it was in Washington, when she had that white dress on.
It's the Grammys, 1984.
Was it the Grammys?
She does the song for the, it was the Olympic
kind of song.
Yeah,
it was the Olympic
song,
yes. She does that, and that's the video I see, and I always try to. Yes, full orchestra. So, and I managed to actually get very close, not to America, but we just came back from a 9-day tour with the London Philharmonic Orchestra, and we did the show with the London Philharmonic Orchestra was incredible.
Hmm. That's the song. That's the song that'll make me cry. I want to hear that. Then I'm going to come for that part
then
of the
you
show.
Should, just I come might, for that song and
I
just
might
leave.
Just leave afterwards.
Yeah, just we'll leave see. After. It's
how
fine.
Rude that would
it's
be.
Fine.
Can you imagine?
Just walk right, out in the middle of the song.
So when it comes to wardrobe and the rest of it, you obviously have to look the part as well. You do. You look like Whitney. Thank God you don't look like Susan Boyle. I mean, you know, some.
No, I had a moment.
Hold on. Some people have a great voice, but they look terrible. You actually look like Whitney. It's even more
Thank
mesmerizing.
You. Thank you. Thank you.
You had a moment? Tell me about this moment.
No, never mind. It was a Susan Boyle moment.
What happened?
No, I'm not going to tell you.
Please, now you can't do this to us. Tell us what happened.
I don't even know Susan Boyle.
Yeah,
I have to
nobody,
be very careful,
nobody
guys.
Really. It's her and her cats.
You mean cats?
She's got a lot of cats.
Guys, he's from the UK.
Doesn't
mean anything.
Doesn't mean he knows Susan Boyle.
No, he doesn't.
All right, so what happened?
No, I was doing the BBC thing and we were trying to get me all prepped up and ready to go. Mm-hmm. And of course, this woman just didn't do the right thing with my hair and I ended up looking like Susan Boyle.
Oh, is it on the internet?
No.
Oh, thank God. Did you have it removed?
It's gross, yes.
Yeah,
had
you
it got
to look after that.
And some of those dresses they wanted you to wear.
Oh,
well.
My. It was like a. It was not flattering.
Yeah, where were you when
like
we needed you, Ben?
Susan Boyle.
I was there telling her to take that dress off.
Yeah, he was he was that guy.
All right, so the outfits, Whitney's outfits, what's your favorite one to wear?
I have nothing. The red one.
The red one. That's the powerful
The red one.
Kind
that's,
of,
the,
that's the big ending, right?
That's the showstopper. Mm. That's a showstopper. That's. Yeah.
Do you have someone who plays Bobby Brown?
Okay. Gross. Come
I mean,
on,
you
Garrett.
Could have,
that's just gross.
You could just pull some homeless guy out of the crowd and bring him on stage, and then you'd have a Bobby Brown for your Whitney.
Well, why don't I just call Bobby Brown and tell him to just come and sit in the audience?
Yeah, and come and he's got nothing to do, right? Yeah, he's got nothing to do at the moment. And bring along his crack pipe, and he could sit there and enjoy.
Oh my God. Wow, okay.
Obviously, the worst thing about the show is that they wheel on a bathtub and then, you know, that's how the whole thing ends, right?
Oh, wow. I have nothing. I have nothing.
Nothing. Nothing if I don't have you. My God. Listen, there we've thought about that ending, eh?
No. You, listen, I'm being
that's terrible.
As all hell. No, I as a Whitney fan, it was just a horrible demise to kind of see her, you know, going downhill.
Spiral
because,
so yeah. It's terrible.
Are you worried as a performer though?
No.
With all of this pressure. No, not that you can end up like Whitney.
Oh, okay.
Can't be ridiculous. You're a responsible, sensible person. But with all this pressure and the voice and everything else, Like, if you don't deliver 100% every single night, people are going to be furious. It's not like you are able to go out there as a solo artist doing your own material. And if you do it slightly differently, people are going to go, oh, well, you know, that's her interpretation of her own stuff. We're willing to accept that. Or it's a live show or whatever. This, you have to, like, there's an expectation of Whitney every time. And if it isn't every time, like this clip we played just now, or, I mean, they're not going to be nice. It's different. The standard is very, very hard.
The thing is, I'm very critical of myself, Garrett. I'm very critical of myself. So when I am a little bit tired, when I am a little bit tired, you know, my confidence level goes down a little bit because I want to be perfect for everybody. I want people to see that I'm as good.
Yeah.
You know, I can deliver the songs. But we haven't gotten to that point yet. Of course, I get tired, but I take care of myself. There's things that I have to do. There's things that I can't eat. There's things that I have to make sure of in order to give a perfect performance every time. Not perfect, but good performance every time. If you ask Ben, we did our first European tour in Germany.
Yeah.
And we had 58 shows, right, Ben? In a period of 3 months.
That's a lot of bockwurst.
Listen, yeah, a lot of bratwurst. Klomburewurst. But listen, we did that. And we didn't cancel one show.
That's amazing.
We didn't cancel one show. That's some stamina. Because you have
to,
listen, I've been doing it for a long time though.
Are you worried at all that this Whitney thing pigeonholes you a little bit? Because as a singer, you want to do your own stuff and you want to maybe do some other shows.
Oh, I'm currently in the middle of it.
But you're loving it, and I don't think.
No,
that
I do love it.
You're not
I do
resentful,
love it.
But no, are no, you no. worried that this is going to typecast you as the Whitney?
It's already
forever?
Done that because you know the fact that I now I'm at the point where the demand for my own music is really strong. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give the people what they want.
Right, and then you could sell this on the side, basically. You slip that
in there. I'm going to give people what they want. So when I do release my own music, it's going to be a very good crossover.
There we go. That's smart.
It's going to be a very good crossover.
You hook them with the Whitney and you reel them in with your own.
Exactly. Yeah, I like that. And that's what we're going to do, and that's going to probably be the next level of things.
Have you, since you're so good at doing Whitney, have you tried to do Mariah?
Of course.
Okay. You do a decent Mariah for us? Sia loves Mariah.
He wants me to do it right now.
It's early in the morning. I don't expect miracles.
Oh, you don't expect miracles. I see. No. Okay, Mariah. What was my all-time favorite Mariah song? Vision of Love. Treating me kind. Sweet destiny carried me through desperation, carried the weight on my own, had to be strong, so I believe. And then what's the words? I have seen it would have found me eventually. I had a vision of love, and it was all that you'd given to me. I had a vision of love, and it was all that you'd given me. I realized the dream, oh yeah, and I visualized the love that came to be. Feel so alive. Yeah, I can keep going.
Oh, yes!
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, there's the right key. There we go. He's got the track there.
I like this.
Had the weight on my own. Had to be strong. So I believe. And there go with the words of it.
I'm
finding the place I can see. I had a vision of love, and it was all that you've given to me. I had a vision of love, and it was all that you've given me. I realized the dream, and I visualized the love that came to be. I'm so thankful that
I've received the answer that heaven has sent down to me.
Whoa.
You treated me kind, yeah. Sweet destiny. And I'll be eternally grateful, holding you so close to me. Pray through the night so faithfully, knowing the one that I needed would find me eventually. I had a vision of love, and it was all that you'd given to me. I had a vision of love, and it was all.
Oh my God.
That you turned out to be. Yeah.
Good heavens. Ooh. Belinda Davids, everybody. Wow.
Oh my God. Did I just really do that?
You just did. Oh, you did it, honey. Woo, wow. Guys. That's unreal. I mean, we didn't plan that.
Yes.
We didn't rehearse that. You didn't know you were going to sing that. It's early in the morning.
The
look at you. Look at you. My God. Okay.
Sing it,
I'm going to come and see this show. This is worth going to Emperor's Palace.
Schlepping
off to the East Rand.
Even if you just stay for one moment in time.
I love this. Belinda, thank you. You're an absolute superstar.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you.
And
so
yeah, keep doing the amazing work that you're doing. You're making us all very, very proud.
Thank you.
If there is, if there's any reincarnation of the great Whitney Houston, it's you.
Thank you. That means a lot to
What
me.
An inspiring way to finish off this morning. Thank you very, very much. Belinda Davids, everybody. Let's wrap it up with the un-news and get on to a couple of good things that we've got for you for today on cliffcentral.com. Stick around for all of that. Here we go. Let's move. Things to do, people to see, places to go. All right, first and foremost, Eskom are proudly saying that there would be no load shedding on Tuesday. There was no load shedding, so they were chuffed by this. The board are all asking for a 73% pay rise, and the unions are supporting them, obviously. Vladimir Putin is having such a busy week that he actually missed Russia's famous win against Egypt. He lined this World Cup up in order to make big international deals, but he says after the first few trillion started to appear in his crypto account, he actually felt that he should be watching some of the games. But a dictator has got to do what a dictator has got to do. And Rossi Erasmus is feeling very confident ahead of the third test against England at Newlands. Eddie Jones isn't, however. Things have become so bad for him in the English camp that rumours are that he has even asked for his old job back at the Stormers. Sadly for him, though, the Western Province Rugby Union doesn't have any money and could only offer Jones beer and Gatsby's as payment for the post. Now that sounds rough. But it's more than what the current coach, Robbie Fleck, is getting. We will see you tomorrow.
This is CliffCentral.com.